lowered expectations for that popcorn because I got popcorn that was sriracha flavored, and the bag was basically designed like the sriracha bottle with the green lid and everything. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be fucking awesome. And it wasn't that good. Like, it wasn't super strong sriracha. Like, it was pretty mild. And, it was kind of disappointing. It was just like popcorn with a little bit of a sprinkling, a dusting of sriracha. We'll do it in the living room, and then we can watch the hockey. You don't probably get to watch a lot, right?
No,
so I'll just hit the mute on this game.
Snippets of games, and that's it.
So. Yeah. So, but this popcorn was just kind of like had a dusting of sriracha. So I bought this buffalo popcorn, and I was like, it's probably going to be the same as that stuff, but I got to give it a shot. It's on sale. And we busted it open today, and it is fucking good.
Yeah, popcorn's coming.
Yeah, Orville Redenbacher's Buffalo Style.
Oh,
or something.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can get it at co-op.
Snack food's so good.
Snack food's out of this world.
God, I don't know what it is.
Would you like some kettle-style lime and cilantro chili nachos with queso?
Queso? Queso's like my...
It's your weakness.
It's my weakness.
It's fucking like kryptonite.
It's my kryptonite, except it makes me fat and lazy.
The guy who just ate a double baconator. Or it's not called a double baconator.
No, there's
a baconator.
A baconator is a double on its own. There's a son of baconator, which I believe is a single.
Which is a single.
But I got no time for that, so.
Ain't nobody got time for that. You're going to eat shitty, you might as well just go all in.
Yeah, that's the thought. Why bother?
I did have a bite of that baconator, and it was quite
good. It's good. It's all about, I swear, the biggest thing with Wendy's burgers is the level of grease in the beef itself. Like, how not lean they are. It's
fresh,
just,
never frozen.
You know, you kill the grease, you kill the burger. That's so true.
So you're not a George Foreman grill guy with burgers.
No. Give me that not-so-healthy fat. You know, I love a little bit of grease with my meat. Not
a
lot.
Want to drink your burger.
Yeah. To a degree.
This episode of Grown Man Coloring is brought to you by Josh Kyle. I think Scott figured out that I pressed the record button.
I saw it. He saw the numbers going. Yeah.
Josh Kyle. Josh Kyle Health. Look him up. I don't know if this is supposed to come out at all, but I was talking to him, and he may be moving to Saskatoon. Potentially. He's looking for nutrition. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about this on the show. Hopefully it's okay. If it's not, I guess I'll delete this episode after he hears it and then re-edit it to not include this part. But he's looking for nutrition work.
Really?
And I'm always happy to hear about one of my best friends coming to Saskatoon.
Oh.
But is it like Good Will Hunting with, Ben Affleck wanting his best friend to move away because he's got...
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, well... I'm selfishly happy to hear that you're coming back, but if it's better for you to not be coming back, then I don't want you to be coming back. He said it's kind of a win-win. It's hard to start a nutrition practice in Saskatoon, but it's kind of...
We like Baconator.
It's not really a situation of... Yeah, too many people in Saskatoon like Baconator. It's not really a situation where it's a bad thing if he's back. It's just kind of a whatever. But if he does find work before August, he won't be back. But if he doesn't...
So,
then he will be back. So it would be cool to have him back.
Cool.
But anyways,
we don't know if it's okay to talk about this, I won't ask anything else. But great. Yay. That's...
Well, just go ahead.
No, like, is he and his old lady moving here or what?
Yes. Right now,
okay.
It sounds like I think he has a term with... Hong Kong. And I think that's finishing. Like, he's finishing his work out there. And then they're...
Right.
I guess planning to move somewhere where there's work, and if that doesn't happen,
I could see
then they're going to try to grind it out in Saskatoon when they get back. So that would be, I hope for whatever's best.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't move back here because that's not whatever's best, then selfishly that's sad for me, but I'll be happier for him that things are good. So
if he's here, the podcast is much more likely to get funding.
And I'll have another guest to pull from.
Yeah, exactly.
Because right now it's pretty much
the roster.
Well, not even
guest.
I don't even mean guest. I mean like host, but like my hosting. I mean the roster is thin right now. I don't have a lot of co-hosts or guest hosts. You're pretty much it right now.
And I'm pretty spotty on my attendance.
Chris just was reffing racquetball out in Costa Rica, and apparently he had to break up a fight. I'm eagerly awaiting to get him.
I'm going to
really put the hammer down and force him to be on the show in the next coming days, because I really want to hear about him breaking up a fight.
I think he's back tomorrow.
So he's back, yes. He's back Tuesday at midnight. Oh, I start work on Tuesday. He is back from Saskatoon on Tuesday. Yes. Yeah.
I was going to ask if you were.
Yeah, I'm excited. They had to start us after. I'm not going to talk about this. I'm not sure that I should be.
Whatever. They're starting you on Tuesday. Got it.
They're starting us out on Tuesday for reasons that is not the best, but.
You can neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, I can neither confirm nor deny. I'm very happy to be back to work. I love my job.
That's great.
It's great. So, yes. Yes, it's good. Yeah, I'm really excited.
Great.
So that's nice. And Chris gets back Tuesday at like midnight. So I told him I'm picking you up at the airport and we're doing a podcast.
All right.
We're not actually doing that because I now have to get up at big boy hours as opposed to sleeping in until 11 in the morning every day. So I will not be podcasting with Chris at 12:30 at night when I have to work at 7 a.m. But I'm looking very much forward to his story about breaking up a fight.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah,
yeah, I wonder what happened.
I hope that's actually true.
Well, he said that it was, and I had two people collaborated that. Tim Landerhugh, a member of Racquetball Canada's national team, and Danielle Drury, another member, both Saskatoon alumni slash current. Tim used to train out of Saskatoon, now lives in Calgary. Danielle trains with us out of Saskatoon, and they both backed up that story. Chris wasn't even the one that brought up that he broke up a fight. I think it was either Tim or Danielle that said, Chris broke up a fight yesterday. Yeah. And then...
usually you're up above, though, are you not?
It depends.
Did he have to rappel down?
Climb the wall.
Like the SEAL Team Sticks style? Like... Stop fighting.
Steel Team Sticks. So he was singing, what song was he singing when he was falling down? Mr. Roboto.
That's
probably a better stick song than, what's the song that he plays? It's the more famous song of the two. Yeah. The stick song, he loves the guy on Big Daddy Loves Sticks. And he plays sticks.
That's something else. I don't know.
Fuck, what is the song that he plays on Mr. Deeds? Well, I do have a laptop. Maybe I'll bring that up right away. I'll get back to you guys about it. Steel Team Sticks. So you had to Steel Team Sticks down
to stop the fight.
Oftentimes, especially in an event like that.
Have you ever seen a fight in racquetball?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did see one once.
Really?
Chris Crowther was playing Alvaro Beltran, and...
That sounds like MMA guys.
It does, and if you saw both of these guys, you would think that they could be MMA fighters, because they're extremely nice people, but they look dangerous, and I'm sure they are dangerous if you cross them. Chris Crowther's about 6'7", and Alvaro's probably about 6'2", 6'3".
But he's crazy, obviously, because he's...
And he's big, and yeah, I mean, they both... they're very nice guys, both of them. Chris has got a fuse on him. He's a guy that can fly off the handle. He's very calm. I feel like it takes a decent amount to get him to fly off the handle, but he can.
Sure.
And they were playing. Yeah. And yeah, Alvaro's a big guy too and looks very dangerous, but is incredibly nice, and I feel like it would take a lot to get him to get like that. But they're playing each other, and it's hard to explain this for those that don't know racquetball, but Alvaro was in front of one of Chris's shots, and he kind of gave him he was on the right side wall. Chris was hitting the ball kind of in the middle deep spot of the court, and Alvaro went off to the side and crouched down to give him room. Chris was hitting the ball a little bit higher and probably had the down the line in the cross court, but he wanted to hit a pinch and drilled the ball from up higher to hit a pinch and hit Alvaro right in the back of the head. Alvaro went down, grabbed the back of his head, kicked his legs a little bit. You know, sometimes when people get hurt and they kind of kick their legs, you know, he was all crouched out up in like a ball, in like kind of not fetal position, but sort of.
Okay.
Grabbed the back of his head, he kicked his legs a little bit, got up and shoved Chris. And it wasn't really a fight. I think it could have been a fight. They sort of shoved each other, and they were about to fight, and then people got in there and broke it up, and there was a long time where cooler heads prevailed. At one point, Chris was just
on the court, kind of cooling down, hitting the ball around, and Alvaro's countryman and probably best friend, Javier Moreno, yelled, I believe what I... He yelled something at Chris that may have been a little bit on the racist side, may not have been. I don't know, but he yelled something at Chris, and Chris flew off the handle and stormed off the court and ran upstairs because Alvaro... Or, sorry, Javier said that from the upper viewing area, where you would, you're saying Chris would have to rappel down the wall from if he was reffing. He yelled that to him from, so Chris stormed off the court, opened the door, went out, ran up the stairs to try to get at Javier. And eventually this was calmed and cooler heads prevailed again and everything ended up being good. And they're friends and they continue to be friends and everything was fine. But I guess it wasn't actually officially a fight, but it was about the closest thing. I think that's the closest I've ever seen to a fight coming in a racquetball match. But to answer your question, the ref isn't always up high. Certain areas they are. An event like that, he was probably on the bottom floor. Usually if there's a glass back wall in racquetball, the ref will ref from down below on ground level because it is easier to see most calls. There's some calls that you can see better from up high.
Yeah, yeah.
But from down below, you'll usually make the best calls on the most amount of things.
I see.
So, yeah, but I guess he had to break up a fight. So, and to answer your question, there is, it's very rare that there's ever fights, but it does happen. So, yeah, I am interested to see what I want to hear the story.
No, no.
Yeah, so wait with bated breath, folks.
But, there's a teaser for you.
There's a teaser for you. So, tune in to the next episode of Grown Man Coloring to hear about how Ref Chris broke up a fight. I'm still looking up sticks. Sticks. Fuck, why can't I remember?
Aren't they on the World Wide Web?
Well, they are. Famous stick songs. What's the song? It's fucking right on the tip of my tongue.
Love is it always
sometime. No. Yeah.
I don't know who that is. The Scorpions? I don't know.
I don't know who that is. Fuck, what is the song that he's listening to? In Big Daddy, and then the girl that he's
courting. That's right, Sticks Big Daddy. Come on,
Sticks Big Daddy. Okay, I will do that. Sticks Big Daddy.
Don't be afraid to Google like a total retard. That's what. Sorry.
Usually it works out, right?
Exceptional individual.
Big Daddy quotes. He taught me to pee on a building, and that Sticks is the greatest band in the world, and they only got a bad rap because most critics are cynical assholes. Okay, somebody else is, fuck yeah, okay, this is not an uncommon thing. In Big Daddy with Adam Sandler, what was the Stick song? It was playing when he said it was his favorite song. I can't, but I can't. So there's someone else that's having the, was on March 13th of 2008, they were having the same problem.
Is that Reddit or something?
That I'm having. Okay, I want to hear what this person has to say. In Big Daddy with Adam Sandler, what was the Stick song that was his all-time favorite song by them? It was playing when he said it was his favorite song, but I can't remember for the life of me which song it was by Sticks. Anyone out there know what it is? Can't remember which is which, but there were three Stick songs in the movie, Blue Collar Man, Babe, and The Best of Times. My guess is Blue Collar Man, but I'm not sure. Fuck.
No,
well,
answer.
I guess I've got to go on YouTube and I've got to look up... Those
we gotta watch all the Big Daddy.
We gotta watch the entire movie.
Probably the last good Adam Sandler movie, eh?
I really liked Click.
Yeah, actually, I like that one too.
I think there
that
was...
Would be it then,
That's another thing we'll do. We'll look up Adam Sandler filmography. I actually watched The Do-Over. That's one of the Netflix exclusive movies. I liked it. I didn't love it. It wasn't a true Adam Sandler return to form. But I did like that movie. It's him and David Spade. And I did like that movie. But, okay, Sticks, Blue Collar Man. We'll start with that one.
Well, you're not just going to go Sticks, Big Daddy?
Again? I could do that. But I want to hear what these songs actually...
All right, sure.
Okay, I do like 80s music. Sticks is an 80s band, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I wonder if this is a band that would fit into my 80s guilty pleasure thing.
Your dog wants to piss.
My dog wants to piss. All right, I'm going to need you to vamp for a little bit while I go over the
vamping.
Door for
vamping.
For the Vampire Weekend.
Vamping. Vampire Weekend. Heard them on the radio a lot. They're okay. They got a lot of songs. Okay.
Is it them that did a cover of Rancid's Ruby Soho? Is that Vampire Weekend or is that someone
possibly.
Else? Oh, that's Dinosaur Jr.
Ah,
Dinosaur Jr. did a cover of them.
A little different.
Okay. So, Adam Sandler.
Vamp,
okay.
Vamp, vamp.
We got Going Overboard. Shakes the Clown. Have you seen Shakes the Clown?
No.
It's an unreal movie. I love Shakes the Clown. Bobcat Goldthwait, written and directed. He,
oh, okay.
Adam Sandler has
oh,
a
yeah.
bit part in that movie.
He plays
a clown.
I remember our old friend Dreby telling us about that movie. Never seen it.
Oh, it's great. I love it. So Shakes the Clown, Coneheads, Airheads.
Yeah.
Coneheads and Airheads. It's funny. Mixed Nuts, Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
Classic.
Bulletproof.
Also classic.
I haven't really watched Bulletproof start to finish.
Damon Wayans and Adam Sandler. I remember that movie was like when I was in, I guess this would be high school, grade 9, grade junior high or whatever. That was like the movie everyone quoted was Bulletproof because it was, what year was it?
I like the one about 70s porn.
Yeah,
you know how I know this is 70s porn? The guy's dick has sideburns.
That's right in the wheelhouse for me. That's like grade 7, 8, something like that. So
The Wedding Singer, classic
great,
in
great.
My books.
Waterboy.
The
also,
Waterboy.
That's classic. That was for me at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Waterboy fan, but I need to watch that again.
I it's really dumb, but yeah.
I might like it if I saw it again.
Watched
I remember when I saw it the first time I didn't like it. I was younger.
I watched it in my formative years.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, it was a big hit amongst us boys, more or less. So okay,
Big Daddy.
Yep, which we were talking about.
Deuce Bigalow, Male Gigolo.
He was cameo, I guess.
Little Nicky.
Terrible.
The Animal.
Cameo.
Mr. Deeds.
Yeah.
See, I love Mr. Deeds.
Yeah,
Mr. Deeds is a 5
okay.
out of 5. For
it's
me,
okay,
Shakes
yeah.
the Clown, 5 out of 5. Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, 5 out of 5s.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I 4'd or 5'd The Wedding Singer, but that's
it's,
a great
it's
movie.
It's got to be up there. It's got the 80s.
It's so good.
It's
yeah.
the 80s thing that really does
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it does the 80s so well.
Yeah.
Big Daddy was a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Mr. Deeds was a 5 out of 5
okay.
for me. Punch Drunk Love was a 5
yeah,
out of 5 for me.
I've only seen that one once.
Anger Management.
That was pretty good too.
I really liked. I liked. I think I 3'd Anger Management, but I like Anger Management.
When
it's good.
The decline was starting about then.
Yeah, Pauly Shore is Dead. I think that was probably a bit part or maybe a documentary.
51st Dates was pretty.
51st.
Okay.
I liked 51st.
Maybe that's
States.
The one. That one was the one of the last good ones. Yeah, I'm forgetting a lot. Longest Yard.
Spanglish. Longest Yard is on TV all the time on Sunday afternoons.
It's pretty okay.
And I always, Lisa and I always end up watching the movie start to finish whenever it's on. It's not anywhere close to one of his best movies.
It's pretty okay.
But I think it's good. It's an easy 3 out of 5, and it's one of his better new movies, for sure. I like it.
Sure, yeah. I'm forgetting a lot of Sandler movies.
Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo.
Yeah, okay.
Click.
Okay. Yeah.
Rain Over Me. I love Rain Over Me. It's not really your classic Adam Sandler comedy, similar to Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah.
Punch Drunk Love is probably better. I don't know, actually. I love Rain Over Me. I'm a big
really?
Don Cheadle,
yeah.
Adam Sandler. I love that movie. I might even like it better than Punch Drunk Love, and I love Punch Drunk Love. I Now Pronounce You Truck and Larry.
Ooh, that
didn't
was
like
bad.
It.
That was
you
bad.
Don't Mess With the Zohan.
That was terrible. I couldn't get through it.
Bedtime Stories.
Don't know it.
Funny People. I really like Funny People.
Didn't see it.
Grown Ups.
Oh.
I don't get me started on Grown Ups.
I don't think I ever watched it.
I hate Grown Ups.
I don't think I've ever started
it's
that
It's awful.
One.
Don't bother. It's a bunch of talented people doing
I think
an
you can
awful
list the other ones. See,
job.
See how, if you can say it all in one breath. All the rest of them.
Just Go With It, Jack and Jill, That's My Boy, Hotel Transylvania, Grown Ups 2, Blended Men, Women, and Children, Pixels, Hotel Transylvania, The Ridiculous 6, The Do-Over, Sandy Wexler, Hotel Transylvania 3.
Nice work. Nice work.
They left out The Cobbler, which I really like, actually.
Really?
That's
a bad premise. That movie's fucked
you
up.
Hated it, eh?
I never even watched it. I just watched a review of it once.
I really like that movie. You might really like that movie. Most people hate it. Most people despise that movie. Funny thing about The Cobbler is the guy that did The Cobbler, I think maybe the same year.
Yeah.
The guy who directed The Cobbler ended up directing Spotlight, which won the Best Picture for that
weird
same year. Yeah. I really like The Cobbler. I'm in a minority in that. Men, Women, Children I really like, too. Jason Reitman, the guy who did Juno and Up in the Air. And also he did a movie called Young Adult with Patton Oswalt and Charlize Theron.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Men, Women, Children, yeah. That movie made zero money. It didn't do well at all. It makes me sad. I really liked it. Most people didn't. Yeah, yeah. But Adam Sandler. So I guess to answer your question, in a lot of ways, I think in a lot of people's opinion, Big Daddy might have been kind of his last... Well, the start of his decline, in my opinion, no.
It goes a little deeper.
I think it goes about 10 years deeper than that. But
I've forgotten about. I think Click. You're right. Is probably the last good one, but it sort of started around Anger Management. I think.
Yeah.
About there around 2003.
I think he's still really good when he plays dramatic roles.
I wish.
I think
do
his
that
comedies. More. Yeah, I do too. Because he's actually a great actor. He was supposed to be in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
But he was doing Funny People at the time. Now, really? He's really good in Funny People, and Funny People is a really good movie, but I would have loved to see
that
him.
That could have been good.
That, you know, Jewish Adam Sandler. I think he was supposed to be the Bear Jew.
Yeah,
he was supposed to beat that guy's fucking head in with a baseball bat.
He could just be anybody in the crew. He would have.
I mean, I definitely like his dramatic takes. I love his. I would love if he could go back to making great comedies because some of my favorite movies of all time are Adam Sandler comedies. They're just not good anymore.
It seems like I mean, a lot of the shots on him are he just wants to go to Hawaii and shoot a movie and call out his year
with his buddies.
Yeah,
Chris Rock, make a bunch of money with his friends.
Rob Schneider. And,
Fair enough.
And like, I guess he's got a good thing going and he's still getting paid to do it. So, but yeah, I'd like to see him maybe do some more art stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think
as
he's
an actor,
a great actor.
You know, but yeah.
Yeah.
I figure we're not going to see that. But
so, Blue Collar Man by Styx. Let's turn this all up on my. I guess I could. Now that we're in an intermission in the hockey game, perhaps I should plug my computer into the TV so that we will get. Terrible Styx songs at a much louder volume, because everybody wants that. I'm just kidding. I don't know that they're terrible. We will be the judge of that very shortly.
Okay. Love it isn't always
on time. Yeah. All right, if my computer. Oh. All right, let's see what we got here.
When this is done, I want to listen to it. This song's pretty good.
I don't remember this song at all. I'm not.
Pretty good song.
Yeah?
It's pretty good.
It's not. It's not terrible.
I don't mind it.
It's not. Great. Oh, one person said it's called Babe. So I'll look up Babe by Styx. I'm keeping my pregnant wife
waiting,
up.
I was waiting for the
chorus.
Yeah, I was waiting for the hook. But no, I like.
I ruined the.
I don't know if I've heard that song actually.
I don't know if I
must
have. I don't think I have either.
We're children of the 80s though. It's there's no way we have it.
We're kind of children of the 80s. Like, do you consider 83s and 84s children of the 80s?
Yeah, you know what? I'll just pause for a second.
Okay.
It's been we read an awful lot about millennials this, millennials that. They're bad, et cetera, whatever the fuck. But time and time again, I read, like, what age they call millennials, and I am technically the oldest millennial.
Yeah.
My year, and I'm like, oh, that's...
You're a millennial.
That sucks.
I'm one of those shitty millennials that everyone talks about. People talk a lot of shit about baby boomers, too, though. They kind of both have their own...
They do now.
Their bad attitudes.
They do now. It's like, we blame the state of the world on them right now. We, you know, whatever. Sure, I mean...
I think it's kind of shitty in both ways. I mean, the stereotypical... I feel like there's...
I like blaming...
Downsides... There's downsides to the stereotypes of both of them.
Yeah.
And stereotypes are true sometimes.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
No, of course. There's too much shades of gray in life.
In life, yeah.
it's all the baby boomers' fault. And
as millennials, we're supposed to say that.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Down with the man, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
How do you feel about being a millennial?
I don't like it, but... I don't care, you know.
Whatever, right? Like, it's The way that you shirk a stereotype or shake a stereotype is don't be like that.
Yeah, don't get so,
a bother. You know, and
it don't,
whatever.
It really don't. But, you know, it's kind of a thing where we're like, I'd rather
I'm a fucking millennial. So does that make us children of the 80s, though? Were born in, like, mid-80s.
I don't really get what the term millennial means. I guess it's children of the new millennium, kind of. So,
yeah.
Or the adults of the
millennium. Because I feel like adults. While we were little kids in the 80s, we didn't really start... I feel like a lot of my formative stuff, other than Transformers, is 90s stuff.
But let's be honest. Punk,
NoFX, Offspring, music.
Pre-94 was the 80s still. 92, 93. That was still the 80s. There's a great bit in Family Guy where it's like a guy... They're going through Stewie's time machine. This is a regular trope in the show. They're going through the time machine, and they're trying to help Chris get ready for a history test. So they wake him up in the middle of the night, and convince him he's dreaming, and then they take him into the time machine and take him through history for a history test.
Yeah.
And then and this is the 90s, and it's a guy with high tops, neon shirt, tight pants, and then he's holding his leg back like he's doing a calf quad stretch.
Yeah, and doing the dance.
When I tell myself I'm over you, he's and he's doing this lame dance on the side of the street. And it's this is the 90s. Yes, this is the entire 90s. That's more 91 maybe or something like that. But
I look at a lot of things for eras by their music.
Yeah,
and I would say Nirvana is probably I categorize the 90s as Nirvana.
Yeah.
So as soon as Nirvana started getting popular / mainstream, that was the breaking
of the 90s. That was a big seismic shift in music,
Giant. And NoFX writes about it in their book that basically was a big reason why they could earn a living playing music.
Yeah.
They did it because they loved it. There was never a thought to make a living doing it, and then Nirvana hit, and now all them and all these bands could make a living playing music now.
Become career bands.
Yeah. So for me, I do definitely agree to a point about the early 90s still being the 80s.
Well, you think about the 90s, 94, 95, 94 was such a cool year with everything that came out. It was just a special fucking year. And then we had 95, we had 96, but then by 97, 98, we're starting to shift into boy bands.
That's true.
Reality TV.
Reality TV.
And it's just oh man, it was just the downfall. I don't know. I don't know if it's the downfall of pop culture, but it sure shifted to something that wasn't nearly as cool as it was. You know, and the sad thing is, I know for me personally,
saying on this podcast now.
For me, it was super shitty because I was late to the party. I didn't like Nirvana till I was well dead. I didn't like. I wasn't into music till I wasn't really super into music till the 97, 98, and then it was past. Everything was starting to just.
Yeah, devolve, you kind of missed the boat.
Devolve into crap, and you know, and.
It's kind of cool getting into stuff when everyone
wasn't into that. Yeah,
it's neat in a way, but it also sucks in a way. I do to be a part of the party, but I do also I do.
It's good to be the in and the out. Yeah,
I do have this kind of contrarian bone in my body because I've liked, and I think a lot of times as a punk music fan, as a fan of independent things in general, I think I'm a fan of a lot of independent things. Independent music, independent film, independent pro wrestling, of all things, or I'm Lee steering this pro wrestling's way again. But I have found myself liking a lot of stuff before it's got big.
Yeah.
I mean, Rise Against is a great example of that. They're, you know, AFI. There's a lot of bands that have become big and we were into them when they weren't.
Yeah.
So you have contrarian bone in your body because Rise Against gets huge, and you're always, you know, you really got to listen to Revolutions Per Minute, or, you know,
listen here,
it was better there, and I think it was.
Let me tell you something,
Rise Against hasn't been putting out shitty records for that long. I mean, two of their major label records are great records, Siren Song of the Counterculture and Suffer in the Witness, for me, is my second favorite Rise Against record after Revolutions. So, but... Yeah, I do have this contrarian to myself, yeah. just this natural kind of, but I've also, I do like to be in the, in with what everyone, yeah. you know, it's a little bit of both. I think I probably err on the side of being, but yeah, it is kind of cool to get to be late to the party like you were, yeah. but it sucks to be just getting into good music yeah. and having it all go to shit.
I know, it's so bad. It's like, boy bands are the thing when I was in high school.
God, holy Backstreet Boys.
And Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and Ricky Martin, and it was just, good lord.
Yeah, that's rough. That is rough.
Yeah.
This is the song. I started playing this, Activistics. And it reminded me of Big Daddy right away. This is the song. I would be surprised if you haven't heard this. It's called Babe.
They sound more like Queen, actually.
A little bit, like a
Mercury in there.
Like a pop,
yeah.
A less rock, a less edgy version. A little synth
going on. Okay, I've heard that one.
This one you might recognize.
Okay. Jesus, I don't know. Probably the latter.
No, like, okay, you.
The latter.
Okay, I would hope you would say that. I just gave Scott a note in all full disclosure that will play the end of our show tonight. I was hoping you'd say that. I'll pull them up.
Yeah, that'd be good.
You should recognize this one. This is probably their most favorite song.
Yeah.
Sailing. This isn't the one from Billy Madison, at least in the part when he's playing the song for the girl. I think he's playing Babe for the girl.
Oh.
That's his, like, this is my favorite song. I love this song, blah, blah, blah. But this is, everyone knows this song.
Gimme.
Yeah, and Me First in the Gimme Gimmes covers this song. You're going to bed soon?
We can go to another 20 or so.
Okay. We should probably talk about the big announcement that I made on the Unemployment Hour. I don't know if you guys heard it, or if you heard it, or if the listener heard it. I know nobody listened to that show. I'm going to be a father. So we're having a baby.
Oh.
My wife and I are expecting. We're pregnant. Do you like that when couples say we're pregnant?
I don't think you did anything. Oh, yeah, you did.
I did a little bit. I did a little bit. Okay. But I did, like, the bare minimum. I want to hear, like, the hook. I feel bad that I cut a Styx song off before its hook. So I won't do that again. It's going to be a while before it gets to the hook, though, isn't it?
It's sticking.
It's sticking. It's already
just stop it. I
want to get to the Come Sail Away.
Oh, yeah, okay, the fun part.
It gets fun. It does get fun. God, it's like a ballad for, like, half the song.
They make you sit through it.
I guess they build it up, though.
The Foo Fighters have a song called But Honestly, it's called. And it's like this.
Yeah.
But the breakdown is awesome.
Oh, yeah? I should listen to that. I need to listen
very
more.
Very similar to this.
I like this song.
Yeah.
I need to listen to more Foo Fighters. I love Everlong. Love Everlong by Foo Fighters. And this is what they said.
No. All right. We're good.
All right.
We're gonna get sued by Sticks.
Probably. Okay. Cool. So yeah, we're pregnant.
Wow.
We're pregnant, so yeah, big announcement
you're
for
not,
those
you're
listening.
I guess it's accurate. I don't like the word fiance either. So
yeah, like, it's kind of a bit of a gross
we're
word.
I prefer my wife's narked out.
I like to be very crude about it. I've been sending people texts like my baseball team and like.
Somehow my wife got pregnant.
I've been saying to my racquetball friends and my baseball friends, hey, we're fucked, boys. Lisa's pregnant, and I'm about 100% sure it's mine. So
this world's
going to come crashing down because, yeah, you know.
We're almost done here, you know, like, oh, shit. That's funny. I like that way better than, oh, my God, you guys. I'm just so excited. So good.
It's going to be so. Meanwhile, you're freaking out inside. I haven't started freaking out inside yet because she's due September 28th, so it gives me a little bit of time to get my life together.
You said she.
Well, she. My wife is due.
Oh, you're
gonna, September 28th.
Oh, you're gonna have a daughter? Okay.
No, my wife is due September 28th.
I know.
Don't you put that evil on me, Bob? Don't you put that evil on me?
Ricky Bobby.
Is that bad? Is it bad that I want a boy? Obviously, all we want, the biggest, most important thing that we want is a healthy baby.
Yeah.
I know that's what you're supposed to say, and that is the truth. I do.
I feel like you shouldn't say anything.
Really? Am I jinxing myself by saying that I...
That'd be my fear, is that you're...
We're going to find out the gender in like a week and a half.
Yeah.
And a big reason why I want to find out the gender... is I want to mentally prepare myself if we're having a girl.
Yeah.
If we're having a girl, I need to wrap myself around... I'm not a sexist person. I think I'm pretty close to the opposite of a... I maybe got a little bit of sexism, but I'm better than most. I'm very progressive feminist dude.
That being said, I'm going to have my wife have an abortion if we're never...
That being said, all I know is being a boy. I know what it is to be a boy. I don't know anything about being a girl. I know how guys think, because I am one, and it's not pretty sometimes. You know, obviously, that doesn't just, like, you know, you guys can be shitty, and, like, it's a rough world for a girl. The things, hopefully by the time, if we have a daughter, hopefully by the time she's an age to understand things, this world will be better in regards to the way that it treats women, but it doesn't treat them really well. And, you know, the way the world is today, the way that, I mean, the way guys think, it's, I mean, yeah, and I think I would have an easier time.
Cassian
again!
On the bad feed out from the defense, and the defense is going to get raped for this.
Wow.
Watch this. Watch the defense pass out here. Oh, that was bad.
He had a great game in game two as well.
Vlasic, that must have been him. They're showing
Vlasic.
Watch this. Watch this bad clear out by the defenseman, though.
Was it Vlasic or was it?
Oh, it was this guy. Right
Ooh,
there, yeah.
Ooh, ouch.
Oh, backhanded right through the final.
Oh, Cassian, what a guy.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad of a clear. It's just like shit.
It was kind of bad luck. It happened to be lucky. Cassian's kind of lollygagging with one hand on his stick, and he happens to catch it.
Yeah,
catches it with his glove. And
5-hole there. That's a
5-hole on Jones. He's probably maybe got to have that.
Burns.
Oh, that's some greasy facial hair.
Oh, that guy's a psycho.
Used to be a Hab.
Buffalo drafted him.
Yeah, Buffalo. Yeah, absolutely.
I got up and cheered when Buffalo drafted him because I was working.
Always had a lot of potential, and he's always been a good player.
I was working at the college, I remember. I wanted them to draft that psycho. And they did. And then, you know, a few years of junior and whatever.
Took him a while to figure his life out.
Then they got him in, and then he just was a bit of a screw loose, and he wasn't really doing much. So they traded him out for Hodgson. And it looked like a good...
Absolutely.
Good hockey trade, but it's one of those trades where, like, nobody could. Like, Hodgson got a big contract.
I was always sad about Hodgson.
I wanted him to be better, too, but he just...
I always expected big things from him.
They gave him a six-year deal. Like, he got a big contract, and but he got bought out before he was 25. Like, and I've never seen that happen before. A guy get a long-term deal bought out before they're 25. Yeah. There's only one-third of the deal cost against their cap. This is boring stuff, but...
Not really. But I'm interested.
But, like, it was huge because, like, he only costs, like, $50,000 against the cap. Like, it's so low.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, like, 8 or 9 years or something left on the... Or, like, it got they doubled it, right? But...
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Cassian Byrne, you know, he got traded for Prust to Montreal.
Yeah.
He got traded to...
It took him a long time to figure his life out, and it sounds like things are going a lot better now, but...
Yeah.
I was bummed.
Yeah.
I was bummed. I always liked Prust,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Talking to our buddy Ryan, who's a big Habs fan and is more in the know than I am, yeah. He was really pumped about that trade.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I listened to him kind of prop up the skills that Cassian has,
yeah.
And I was pretty excited about it. But then he didn't quite have his shit together at that point.
He
was,
broke his foot in the car.
You know, and crashed his car and was drinking and driving and all that stuff. And now it seems like he's on the mend and more up and up. And he's
this is the first real blip he's had in Edmonton. So, I mean, he's had a few things. He fucking destroyed Sam Gagner's face once in in the corner, hit him, and then brought up a stick like this, like with one hand.
Yeah.
And hit Sam Gagner right in the face.
Oof.
When he was with
did he get suspended for that?
Vancouver Tampa or something like that? Yeah, I can't remember.
He did.
It was like that was kind of the last time we heard of him.
Yeah, until game two.
He's just been toiling, and now then he had game two.
Game two, he was a force, and he just scored the go ahead goal.
Yeah.
So are you cheering for Edmonton in this series?
I kind of, you know, like you asked me, like this is 6 years straight that my team hasn't made the playoffs. So like, every year I try and pick a team. This year I just couldn't find one that I really cared about. Edmonton a little bit. I'm still pissed that they won the lottery 2 years ago and got McDavid. But I'll kind of give them a little Canada vote for me. It was weird going into this thing. Going into this, I was like, I should cheer for St. Louis. That was, for some reason, I thought St. Louis is who I want to cheer for, and I'm like, they won't even have a chance. They'll get swept by the Wild or something. No, they're up 3-0.
Yeah.
Like, they're about to sweep the Wild. Maybe I should actually cheer. I don't know why. I kind of, you know, they've been on the outside for a long time.
I picked them to win the Cup a couple of years ago, actually.
They had 4 straight years of making the playoffs with 100 points.
Mm.
But they were never they never had home ice, and they'd keep drawing Chicago or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just, and I remember watching some great series between those two teams. And, like, I was like, you know, and this year they finally had they changed coaches. They lost Shattenkirk. Kind of a hard luck story. That whole team is getting older now. Like, from what, like, they were really young and awesome, but the whole team's getting a little older. I mean, Tarasenko's still pretty young, but, like, they're kind of a hard luck team this year. And then they kind of turn it around. Their goalie got his shit together super well. And
he's been playing great.
Former World Junior, you know, guy. I don't think he won with them, but, you know.
I think, was he the goalie in 2010 when our juniors lost against Saskatoon?
I don't remember. I get them all mixed up. They all kind of run together at some point. I think he might have been 2011, unfortunately, but
okay.
I don't remember exactly what year was his.
I thought it was like Byzantine or something in 2011.
Yeah, maybe it was. I can't. You know, that's how I usually can tell the teams apart. Or usually I tell the teams apart by the who the best player on the team was. So you had, like, the year they were here. The year they were here was Taylor Hall.
That's right. And Kadri.
The next year, I think, was, like, Tavares or something.
Park.
Or Scheifele or something. I can't remember.
I think the year... Yeah, I think it was the last year that they went on that run.
Yeah.
I think it was Tavares.
Yeah, I can't remember. Like,
and then they lost in Saskatoon. And Saskatoon, I think they had won either 4 in a row or 5 in a row before Saskatoon.
And Carlson in overtime.
John Carlson with that great shot on the 2-on-1.
Yep. And then Yeah, geez, and then there was the lockout one where they had Nugent Hopkins.
Mm-hmm.
There was the one where
that year was a piss off because
2011 was the worst when they blew the 3-0 lead in the third period in the Russia. That one made me mad. I was intently watching that game.
I was livid when I watched that.
I was watching. I remember where I was. We were still living in our townhouse. I was up in our bedroom. We had a TV in there, and I was watching it and like just watching them slowly go down.
Braden Shen was on that. But team.
He was on loan. He was the alpha on that team. That's what it was.
And injured himself in the gold medal game.
Yeah. It just, oh, that, what a frustrating game to watch. The, like, 3-0, 3-1, 3-2, 3-3, 4-3. And then I was just like, you fucking losers, I remember.
I was livid. But then I was pissed about that one. Really pissed.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, you know, like, they're kids. I think I even did.
Yeah, they're. No,
I did an unemployment hour about it, and I was like, you know what? Like, yeah, they're kids. They're just kids. Like,
yeah,
shit happens. Crazy stuff happens in junior hockey.
Yeah. No. I kind of calmed myself. I'm like, yeah, you know, who cares, really? I mean, but it was just, I was just mad, and that was the end of the. I guess it was second.
Saskatoon was the end. Saskatoon, yeah. It looked like we were gonna you know, revenge because we beat the States. What a save.
Yeah.
We beat the States in the semis after they beat us in the final the year before. That's and great. We played great that game. We won like every board battle. Like, it was just crazy.
Yeah.
We beat the States in the semis after they beat us the year before.
Yeah.
And then we're up 3-0 on the Russians. And it's like, I think going into the third period. And it's sweet. We're going to get our, you know.
It was looking like it was in the bag. Like.
And then just, yeah.
And then they just
It just fell on. Apart. Kind of. And Russia just really piled it on and took it to us. And. And it was all she wrote.
It was shocking. And it was just, yeah. You know, I was thinking the other day, like, I told you I watched that movie Hell or High Water, which was really good. And for me, I don't have a lot of time for movies and stuff these days. You know, I get a little bit, I got a finite amount of time at night when my kids go to bed, and then I got to go to bed. And, like, if I'm going to take the time to watch a movie, it better be fucking good.
Right.
So, you told me how worried you get about watching like your teams play
big games
and stuff like that, and like, God, I get clammed up for movies now. I'm like,
oh really? Approach movies the way I approach a Habs playoff game?
Not to that degree, but like a similar, some fraction of that, you know, of that just apprehension with it, where I'm just like, oh, this better be good.
I don't want to waste an hour and a half to 2 hours of my life.
I'm going to watch Iron Fist, but I'm like, I really got to have nothing else to do.
I would say watch the first episode, and if you disliked it as much as I did, then stop and just read up on what happened, so you'll be ready for Defenders.
Yeah, exactly. I will if it comes to that, but like, I turned that Hell or High Water on, and I remember seeing like ads for it and stuff, and I was like, oh, Chris Pine and Ben Foster, I like those two, they're really good.
Yeah.
But like, it's, you know, they look like they're cowboys, I don't know, you know. And then
it got
nominated for something, I think.
Best Picture.
Is that what it was?
And Best Screenplay, Best Original Screenplay. That's what Taylor Sheridan got nominated for Best Original Screenplay for, I think Ben Foster Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges got nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Because he played the same character as True Grit. That's right. He plays that same character so many times. I haven't seen that movie, but I just know that's what he sounds like.
It's worse in True Grit. In True Grit, he's almost like, there's many times he says lines and you can't even understand what he said.
He's just, I don't know. I don't get it. But anyways, I knew that one, you know, I knew it was going to be decent enough, but I was like, I hope I actually like it. You know, like, if a movie gets nominated, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to like it. And I really want to like it. And luckily I did. You know,
that's a good way to... At least you're approaching movies with that attitude, where you're hoping to like them.
Well, I get really upset if I don't. Like, it's like, that's... It is literally 2 hours of my time.
And as a dad, you know, that's a lot of time.
You know, it's time I will never get back. You know? And I just... I got no time for bad movies. I got no time for swings and misses. I need at least
a double.
Yeah, exactly.
You need a double to happen. Yeah. So, I guess in future episodes we'll talk more about being a dad. I think I can relate more to a son, and I think I can be better at raising a son. I mean, I guess get more better, figure out how to raise a kid no matter what. gender it is. And I mean, with the way gender is nowadays, just because it comes out one gender doesn't mean it's going to end up another gender. So I may get my son regardless. I may get my daughter no matter what. Yeah, who knows? Yeah. But I'm just saying that. I don't shit all over me for feeling this way. But
when my second came along and I was sure it was going to be a boy and then end up being a girl, it didn't hurt knowing that going in, you know. I didn't really, like, suddenly change. I had a son already, so I was like, okay. I was happy for my wife to have, so we'd have a girl.
Yeah.
And, but it still, it helped kind of, I don't know, mentally prepare, even if I didn't, like, you know, outwardly research and try to figure out anything for girls, because they don't really become girls.
That's true. You got even more time than mine's 6 months.
Mine's 3.5, and she's barely a girl. She likes to wrestle and fight more than my son does. So, you know, go figure. But
Less shy, more of an your son is doesn't like being naked.
No, he does now, actually.
He's running around naked now?
He was all shy for a while, and then we were at the in-laws one night, and then, you know, they have baths after Sunday supper.
Yeah.
And suddenly, he just bursts out in his little boy gotch, you know, superhero gotch, and he's just, like, strutting around, running around, and I loves it.
Really?
I don't know why. My daughter will run around butt naked all the time. No problem, but, like, he wasn't. He was all shy.
He's coming out of his shell.
It's something clicked for him.
I remember being scared. I don't think I ever used a public shower until I was maybe like 23, 24.
Yeah, those are weird. Public showers are strange.
I definitely started streaking into my like early 20s, late teens. Yeah. Before that, though, like I wouldn't even look at my... Like I was incredibly shy, even by myself, about being naked. And then I just started running around...
Getting drunk and doing it.
Yeah, I mean, parties naked. There's alcohol, videos of me partying naked. Yeah. You know, it came out... But yeah, I mean, I guess everyone's got their own timeline as to when they... When they start to, you know, exhibit, or if at all. Anyways, I don't know what the fuck's up Charlie's butt, but we're going to take it on home, so I guess we'll talk about upcoming fatherhood. Lee needs to learn stuff about fatherhood, so this probably will be an ongoing subject we'll be talking about. Maybe we'll become, like, that'll be, like, our one thing that we actually... We're pretty all over the place, and maybe we won't be as much anymore. We'll be talking about kids and fatherhood. Who knows? Maybe. What the fuck? Thanks for listening, and we will bring you out with some joint words of wisdom today. Right. We'll be doing some words of wisdom together. So, it will be long, but tune in. We hope you enjoy it.
I got manicured fingers and toes.
I got 4 layers of pee-soaked clothes, but I'm still condescending.
Your ass and teeth permanently browned.
Your face is permanently frowned,
and I
have everything I want.
Your life's gotta really suck.
You gotta hustle all day just to make the bucks, to get high enough, just to forget about what you've become.
You're the one who lives nowhere, to think your life's more than a game of suits and ladders.
When nothing really matters. You're not just fluis.
You're superfluous. You don't actually do anything.
A human redundancy.
40-year-old Macallans, 40 old English ounces. Henry IV double shot.
I just finished a bottle of Old Crow.
I just bought a case of Chateau Margaux, not the 95, the 96.
Your house is of corrections. Your house is full of collections of crap you bought from selling others out.
You're the one who has nothing. Your life is a game of unstable bladders.
When nothing really matters.
You woke up today covered in droppings.
When the bottom drops, my life won't change a bit, but yours will turn to shit.
You are a superfluous man.
I am a superfluous man. You're quite a superfluous man.
I am a superfluous man.
That was... was Suits and Ladders by NoFX. Check it out. Listen to it. Great song. If you didn't know what the fuck we were talking about, Suits and Ladders by NoFX. Check it out.
Superfluous.
I kept saying superfluous.
Superfluous.
We got a few of the verses and the duet parts wrong, but that was fun. So, you're fuck right. You if you didn't like it.
Bye.